The Lord Jesus give you his peace. Following the great solemnity of the Annunciation, we find ourselves with our Lord's teaching on how he, in his own person, has fulfilled the law and the prophets. And it's a stern warning for us, because breaking one of the least of these commandments that he's given, which we heard the injunction in the book of Deuteronomy, is not like just kind of sliding underneath the wire. There's not a few fathers of the church that interpret that being called the least in the kingdom means not entering the kingdom of heaven, not entering into heaven, but in fact being damned. And that's because the commandments that are being referred to here are the Ten Commandments, they're the natural law. And St. James will talk about, in breaking one of them, we break all. And so the injunction is very, very strong. And Jesus, who fulfilled the law and the prophets perfectly, in a nice section of the Catechism, we'll talk about it. It is, in fact, kind of realized typologically with the presence of both Moses and Elijah in the Transfiguration, the law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah. And he, our Lord, has fulfilled it perfectly, and he also asked us to be holy as he is holy. And that means that we are to fulfill the law, which according to two teachings, Romans and also in Galatians, is basically loving our neighbor as ourself. This is Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Now, this is predicated upon, of course, love of God, because there's no love of neighbor without love of God, and there's no love of God without obedience to the commandments. And the letters of St. John are very, very clear with that, that if we love God, we will obey his commandments. And that's fear of the Lord, which is adherence to God, not wanting to be separated from our greatest good, who is God. And Galatians repeats the same teaching. That's fulfilling the law. And so it's a call and it's a reminder for almsgiving during the season of Lent. And also we can think of Marian consecrations fulfilling that in a very deep way, where we give our merits and satisfactions and really plug into the compassioning of Our Lady at the foot of the cross. Now, fulfilling the prophets, our Lord, in St. Matthew's Gospel is replete with different citations from the Old Testament of how our Lord in his person has fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. And here's one: the return from Egypt, out of Egypt I have called my son. The virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14. That Jesus would be called a Nazarene, his place, his home hometown. It even predicted the slaughter of the innocents. The voice in Ramah was heard, lamentation and great mourning. And also the first place of his public ministry in Zebulun and Naphtali, as he began. That Jesus himself would be a victim of expiation, that he took our infirmities and bore our diseases, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And those chapters, they're often called the servant songs in Isaiah, are specifically beautiful Lenten meditation. Isaiah 49 through 53, and plugging into the sufferings of the Christ in very, very dramatic language. And we can fill them up with our meditations and entering into them. That Jesus himself would exercise hesed, or this tender mercy, not breaking the bruised reed or smoldering the wick, quenching the smoldering wick. That he would teach in parables, that he would enter into Jerusalem on the foal of an ass, and that he would be arrested in Gethsemane, that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, and all these things that Jesus fulfills in the prophecies of the Old Testament. So then we're left with what our call. And our call, if we kind of trace from Jesus to ourselves, that there's only one other place, as far as I was able to tell, in sacred scripture where you've got the law and the prophets together with this fulfillment. It's in Luke 24. It's right before Jesus' ascension. And Jesus says, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets." And soon after this, he blesses them and he ascends into heaven. And it's that ascension that Ephesians tells us that he ascended above all the heavens that he might fill, same as fulfill, all things. And that's now us. And that's with the fruit of justice through Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God, according to Philippians. So it's kind of tracing what that is and just kind of leaving the Annunciation just yesterday, following up with her Amen. And her amen in Luke 1:38 is her be it done unto me. And that's how it's translated in the Septuagint, the Greek of the Old Testament. The, if it's pronounced right, I'm not sure, genoito, may it be done, is the amen. And it's Our Lady's words. The Hebrew etymology of that, the Catechism will tell us, is comes from the same root as to believe. And this root, it writes, 1062, expresses solidity, trustworthiness, faithfulness. So we can understand why amen may express both God's faithfulness towards us and our trust in him. And of course, it's prefaced in the gospel today and other teachings of our Lord. Amen, amen, I say to you. And that this teaching is trustworthy. And of course, he is his teaching. He is the word. And he is trustworthiness itself. Now, the catechism continues with this amen, where, because it's at the end of the creed, and this section is talking about the creed, we say amen. It's basically like we're saying the same thing as I believe, how we started the creed. I believe in one God. And at the conclusion, amen. In other words, I believe. And that's important because to say amen to God's words, promises, and commandments, the Catechism writes, is to entrust ourselves completely to him who is the amen of infinite love and perfect faithfulness. Now, if we connect this with Marian consecration, in one way, this amen, of course, entrusts ourselves completely to God, the Creator. And then you say, well, what about Marian consecration? I mean, we entrust ourselves to a creature. And that, of course, can give great scandal to our Protestant brethren. What's up with that? And how can you do that without falling into idolatry? Well, it's specific to Our Lady's Amen at the Annunciation, which was unwaveringly adhered to the foot of the cross, and the perfection of faith. It works out something like this, that the great Amen, who is our Lord, according to Revelation 3:14, upon entering the world in his incarnation, Hebrews 10, behold, I come to do your will, O God. That's a fiat. That's a may it be done unto me. And that fiat takes up the created fiat of the Immaculate. The amen, we could say, of the Creator takes up the amen, which is, we could say, also of all creation with the Immaculate. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, may it be done unto me according to your word. The overshadowing that we looked at yesterday, and that union created between the divinity and the creature, indissoluble, fecund, fruitful. And it's a union of two persons, two natures, but also now being one in act, being one in act, that the amen of the Immaculate, and it's, you can think of it almost like this, that just as there's one word of the Father in whom all has been revealed, which is Jesus, so too there's only one definitive yes to this word arising from all of creation, and that is the fiat of the Immaculate. Now, the undergirding aspect of this is continued in the Catechism in 1065. Jesus Christ himself is the amen. He is the definitive amen of the Father's love for us. And this is it. He takes up and completes our amen to the Father. Oh, and later in Holy Mass, of course, we'll be praying the great amen. And for all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why we utter the amen through him to the glory of God. And this taking up of the amen and this completing of the amen is realized definitively with the amen or the fiat of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And you can think of it this way, that at the incarnation, the divine word who became as a creature, and the word of a creature became as divine. It's no small gift, the gift of the priesthood, to utter a created word, and that word affects a divine reality. And this is the reality of the Immaculate in her own person. So this is a taking up of the amen. So what about us? Well, in realizing this, St. Maximilian will write that, you know, it does plug us into the fiat of Our Lady, and St. Maximilian will conclude with this. In all he does, God always wills to make use of instruments. God, who gave us free will, wants us to serve him freely in the role of instruments by bringing our wills into harmony with his, even as his most holy mother did when she said her fiat. Let us pray more and more that we may understand better and better what the Immaculate said at the moment of the Annunciation. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. In this attitude alone will we find real happiness. This is the resume of our mission on this earth. God made us to be his instruments, so let us ask the Virgin Mary to teach us how our souls, too, can become the handmaids of the Lord.